Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Well, sure. I mean, this is all about the fact that he has a pro-Hamas base, Sean. But listen, Eisenhower did the right thing back in 57 when he sent the 101st Airborne to Little Rock. Why not do it for Jewish Americans?
Be glad, be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists.
Nazis. I hate these guys.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
For example, I remember starting off playing Catholic League football, CIO football.
So I was a lot bigger then because I was on stilts. Yeah, that's it. Too tall for Megan, they called me.
Runner-up at state, scoring, you know. What the heck?
Wow.
You know, you don't look big enough to play football.
Oh, well, you see, I had a lot of injuries, and they changed my physique.
I don't see any scars.
Yeah, well, they were internal injuries.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. It's Friday. We've got a great show planned here for you, I think, and I'll probably be lectured by Dr. Matt later in the show for feeding Roscoe some slices, just not slices, crusts of sourdough bread. I'm going to have to explain to him it's multigrain. Means it's healthy. It's got the little black specks in it. That means it's, you know, it's good for him, good for me. All right, we've got a lot to get to here today, and we're going to start out. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Biden went to New York. You know, it's monkey see, monkey do. Wherever Trump goes, or whatever Trump does, whether it's to East Palestine or buying a round at a fast food restaurant, or trying to buy a round. Biden always copies Trump these days. It's supposed to be the other way around. The he is the incumbent. He is the selected president of the United States. But so Trump is in New York every day, getting all kinds of great video, like with the construction workers yesterday, with the bodega owners last week. So Brandon flies up there today to be interviewed by Howard Stern, who used to be a contender. I know he's extremely wealthy. He's got a he used to live on the lake in Palm Beach. Now he lives on the ocean. House is worth over $100 million. It, supposedly Bezos tried to buy it, but he's got, you know, he hides out. He doesn't go anywhere. He's one of those guys who was petrified of COVID, wouldn't go outside for years. Just it's a sad. He's got a lot of money, and that's great, and he's very successful. But it's kind of a sad ending to in terms of his status as an industry thought leader, or just a societal thought leader. But anyway, so the fact that he's, you know, a total sellout is shown by the fact that he's with Brandon today. And but Brandon, he delivered. He really did deliver. And we have received a voicemail from President Trump about this, but before we do so, I want to play what he said with Howard Stern today. Brandon, he flew to New York to do this interview at the headquarters of satellite radio. Cut 7.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
I am somewhere. I think that was the sentence. I am somewhere. And Trump responded in kind. And again, you know, other people just get the voicemail. They're the Truth Social, you know, that's his version of Twitter. We got that. But he also likes to phone in a personal message, a to deliver his tweet to the Howie Carr Show audience. Here he is, President Trump.
Crooked Joe Biden just announced that he's willing to debate. Everyone knows he doesn't really mean it, but in case he does, I say anywhere, anytime, any place, an old expression used by fighters. I suggest Monday evening, Tuesday evening, or Wednesday evening at my rally in Michigan, a state that he is in the process of destroying with his EV mandate. In the alternative, he's in New York City today, although he probably doesn't know it. And so am I, stuck in one of the many court cases that he instigated as election interference against a political opponent, a continuing witch hunt. It's the only way he thinks he can win. In fact, let's do the debate at the courthouse tonight on national television. I'll wait around.
When the phone don't ring, President Trump, you'll know it's one of Brandon's caregivers. All right. So, you know, that's what he put out on Twitter. But he's gotten so angry about, I guess angry or just, you know, PO'd, whatever you want to call it, perturbed, exasperated, annoyed with what Brandon is saying, that he's putting out his recaps now. You know, usually it's the Republican National Committee it tweets things out, but now Trump is putting out his own versions, not with the audio so much, just the quotes. Recap. This just came over about less than a half hour ago. Recap: : Crooked Joe Biden mumbles and lies his way through Howard Stern interview. And then he mentions about how he'd be happy to debate President Trump. His handlers must be furious. Okay, now this was something. I'm going to play another cut from the interview, and then I'll give you what Trump's response is. Cut 8.
But for example, I remember starting off playing Catholic League football, CIO football.
By the way, I don't think a lot of people know that you were a star receiver in high school. You were like the first string guy. You were the guy who caught the ball.
Runner up at state scoring, you know. At the
Wow.
But I was a run.
I was a run? He was a run? Are the Patriots planning on drafting any runs in the draft? Who was the number one rated run in the NFL draft? I don't think they drafted any runs in the first round last night. He was a run, and he played in the Say AY League, the Say AY League. So Trump responds, or his campaign responds. Biden claimed he was the runner-up in state scoring for football, but he really finished 5th in the 1960, quote, conference scoring race, unquote. I know Delaware is a small state, but I'll bet there was more than one conference, football conference, in prep grid high school football. All right, here's another one that he said. Cut 10.
I got put in that 10 most eligible bachelor's list.
Because you were a United States Senator, you were a catch.
And a lot of lovely women, but women would send very salacious pictures, and I just gave them to the Secret Service. I thought somebody would think I was, and I just gave up.
If only you would give up, or Jill would let you give up. And as Trump points out, senators do not have Secret Service protection. And the salacious photos, by the way, they don't just go out to senators. I could tell you some stories about what the anchors used to get at Channel 7, the male anchors used to get. It wasn't that salacious, though. It was mainly just kind of weird stuff. All right, what else have we got here from... here's his talking about colleges. 9.
You were at Syracuse.
I was at Syracuse. It's a good law school.
Right.
But I thought I was going to go to either Cornell or no. Anyway.
Cornell error anyway. Anyway. Yeah, like he was really going to get into Cornell. Cornell's an Ivy League school. It's one of the best law schools in the country. He wasn't getting in there. And by the way, Syracuse was such a good law school that he was thrown out for plagiarizing. He had to sit out. I was wondering too. You know, he said he tried to meet Bobby Kennedy, the senator at Syracuse. I wonder maybe he didn't get a chance to meet him because he was back home in Scranton or Wilmington, wherever the hell he was claiming to be from. Did he say I was a run? He said runt. Did he say I was a run? Or I thought he said run. Or maybe a lot of people are saying he said runt.
But for example, I remember starting off playing Catholic League football, CIO football.
By the way, I don't think a lot of people know that you were a star receiver in high school. You were like the first string guy. You were the guy who caught the ball.
Runner up in state scoring, you know. At the,
wow.
But I was a runt.
Well, maybe he did say runt. It sounded more like run to me, but he slurs his words a lot. And by the way, he's about 6 feet tall. I don't think 6 feet tall makes you a runt today as a running back. And it certainly didn't make you a runt 65 years ago, whatever it was, when he was playing for the CCAY League. 844-500-4242. I like to... Let's play the one thing about his latest, you know, he was arrested with Nelson Mandela in South Africa. That never happened. He was arrested in Ohio while going into a girl's dorm. That never happened. And now there's been another arrest that never happened today. Cut 12.
And I looked at my mom. I said, honey, you haven't said anything. She said, Joey, let me remember. True story. She said, remember when they were desegregating Linfield, the neighborhood, and it was, 70 homes built at once. Suburbia, and I told you, and there was a black family moving in, and there was people who were down there protesting. I told you not to go down there, and you went down. Remember that? And you came, got arrested, be standing on the porch with a black family.
Right.
And they brought you back, the police. And I said, yeah, Mom, I remember that.
Never happened. Never happened. Can I get me a fact checker over here?
Very fakeness.
(laughs) 844-500-4242. Limerick guy says he wanted to say I was a runt, but he said run. Yeah, that's the way I that's probably more like it. I think he slurs, he's never taken a drink, but he slurs his words like Ted Kennedy or William Weld. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show will be right back. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
(844) 500-4242. That's the number if you'd like to call the Howie Carr Show. So this morning I was reading the Harvard Crimson, and that's the student daily newspaper. And I was hoping for another update on whether or not there'd been another war crime in Harvard Yard, turning on the sprinklers as the snowflakes were trying to sleep. But I didn't see any stories about that, but I did see a really heartwarming story. The state legislature, meaning Boston, is considering an endowment tax. Experts say it could cripple Harvard. I don't think this is going through, but it's going to be heard. There's going to be a hearing on it on Monday, I guess. Massachusetts legislators are moving forward with a bill to tax university endowments, which could cost Harvard almost $15 billion over 10 years. A university endowment tax that some experts describe as potentially catastrophic. It would raise uh, it, it would it would cost a 2.5% tax on all assets currently held under management. They have over $50 billion. So it would be like $1.25 billion a year. And they're saying, oh, it will make us non-competitive. They don't care about the fact that they want to make every, they want to put Elizabeth Warren, the fake Indian, and Bernie Sanders want to put a wealth tax on American citizens like you and me. They say it's only for people with over $50 billion, but you know that's BS. They want to put it on everybody. So it's okay to put it on normal Americans, but it's a disaster to put it on Harvard University and MIT. It would cripple the ability of Massachusetts universities to compete going forward, said Larry Summers, former president. You know what I call that? Crippling Harvard University, I call that a good start. 844-500-4242. So that's today's poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Northeast Hair Restoration. This April and May, save $1,000 off their new PFE hair restoration procedure and listen to my Meet the Expert podcast with the doctors. I think one of them is going to be in studio with me to give me my new laser cap next week when I'm back in Boston. I'm looking forward to getting the laser cap. This is a great procedure. It's even more advanced than the one I've had. Go to pfehair.com or call 1-800-208-HAIR. That's 1-800-208-HAIR. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is Harvard says the state's proposed wealth tax on its $50 billion endowment would cripple it. Should the legislature pass the $1.5 billion yearly Harvard tax? Yes, no, or the tax should be even higher?
The tax should be even higher.
27% say it should be higher. 67% say it's adequate. 5% say, no, it's too much.
All right. I'm surprised that it's 5%. I would have thought it would be more like 2%. Donna, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, Howie. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to say two things. Number one, every time he prefaces a statement with not a lie,
right,
it means it's a lie.
Exactly.
So you learn that in sales. Never say... I'm telling the truth, because then they think, what?
Yeah.
It's a bad thing to say.
I know. The one I hate is frankly. Frankly. What? Frankly. Were you not being frank with me?
Right. And the other thing is, Harvard, I just want to say, I've been saying this all along to everybody. Democrats are cannibals. They eat themselves. They really do. I mean, there's always something that they put out where it'll hurt another Democrat. That's what I mean by that. And so that Harvard is getting their comeuppance.
Well, I think this is a classic example of, they don't mind that taxes for thee, but not for me. Harvard is all in on taxing the average person back to the Stone Age. But when it comes to getting taxed themselves, It's practically a war crime. It's genocide. It's worse than turning on the sprinklers in Harvard Yard at 4 a.m. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
781 says, oh my God, Howie Carr is a pro-tax liberal, picking on poor Harvard. The Congress in 2017 passed a minuscule tax on these endowments, and Harvard screamed like a stuck pig. All the big money elite limousine liberal schools did. And Harvard now, under this law, which was signed by President Trump, and they've been trying to repeal it since Brandon got in, they pay $37 million a year. And they treat it like it's the end of the world. But now these two libs in the state legislature say, hey, if Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders want to put this on regular people. Let's put it on the people that got billions of dollars. For once, I'm with them.
I like how in the article it says, you know, if this tax were to be imposed, then Harvard's endowment would fall below Princeton and Yale and the University of Texas. It's so depressing and disgusting for them to think about having a lower endowment than the University of Texas.
It's going to, these high taxes, Grace, are going to reduce their competitive edge. They're not worried about any businesses in Massachusetts, right?
How about me? How about regular people? You've been reducing our competitive edge for a very long time.
I know. And they have a chart. They have this great chart. This is what Harvard will maintain a slight lead over Yale if they don't raise this tax on us. But if they do raise the tax, we'll fall below the Bulldogs.
I'll try to find my
smallest violin. It's for the children.
It's baked in.
Harvard, it's for the children. It's for the infrastructure. It's only about the price of a cup of coffee every day.
Yeah.
That's what they always tell us,
They
right?
must just be believing in trickle-down economics, which Joe Biden has told me it does not work. You know, you have to really go to the source, and everyone has to pay their fair share. So this is your time to show us, to put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when they come to Harvard to put out some money, they're acting like Hunter Biden. They're running away.
They're crying poor.
Yeah, where?
We can't afford it.
Pay your fair share. You can have a $50 billion endowment, but pay your fair share.
Yeah. I don't think it's asking too much.
No. And Jonathan Gruber, there is no reason to single out particular institutions based on their endowment. That makes no sense. This is Gruber, the guy who pushed through Obamacare and then bragged about it, saying he did it because he could do it because the American people were so stupid.
Wait, and also, why not point out or single out institutions that have giant endowments? That's what we do with people. They're always talking about how billionaires make so much and they should, you know, they shouldn't have to just pay the tax rate. They should have to pay more based off what they make. That's what they do when they talk about Elon Musk and Donald Trump and all these evil people.
Right.
So why not single them out?
I used to pay property taxes in the city of Cambridge. I guarantee you, I was paying a higher percentage of my income in property taxes than Harvard was paying for their in lieu of payments.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, when Joe Biden goes on the campaign trail and he tries to act like Elon Musk and these people, I know I keep referencing him, but that is usually his go-to, that these billionaires don't pay as much as like firefighters do. And anyone who can read between the lines or, you know, can question the source here goes, well, right, but 2.5% for Elon Musk is a lot more money than it would be for a regular person. And you could say the same thing here. It's like, yeah, of course, if Harvard has to pay 2.5%, it's going to be a lot of money. But that's not an excuse when it comes to people paying taxes.
Mm-hmm. I love this one from Summers. Donors would give up giving to Massachusetts universities because the money would just be taxed by the state. Well, isn't that the reason for getting out of the state before you die, so that your kids get the money rather than the state? But they don't buy that as an excuse for cutting the inheritance tax or for cutting the income tax or for not putting up tolls at the borders or for not raising the excise taxes.
Yeah, I really like that. I really like this idea. I'm all on board for it.
Right. I am too. I was going to do another call. I had a couple other columns lined up, but this has got to be my Sunday column. I'm going to take the, you know, I'm down for the struggle, Grace.
And I like the analogy you just made about how you were probably paying, it's not even an analogy, but that you were paying a higher rate than Harvard, because this is what they use all the time. They do that and they say, why should so-and-so be paying less of a percentage than a firefighter? Let's just do it to Harvard. Why should Harvard be paying less than Howie Carr?
Yeah. By the way, this is the exact number for what they're paying under this new Trump era tax that the bigly endowed universities have to pay. Harvard has paid roughly $37 million annually to the federal government. $37 million on a $50 billion investment?
No, that can't stand.
That's not less than a secretary pays. That's less than a bum sitting passed out, at the Red Line station in Harvard Square.
Wait till the commies on campus who are busy right now blocking the sprinklers with buckets. But wait until they hear about this. They're going to have to put down the anti-Semitic signs and pick up some against Harvard. Once they find out that Harvard's, not paying their fair share, they're going to be upset.
$37 million a year. Drew Faust, the president at the time, said it's a blow to the strength of American higher education. Hmm. We've seen the strength of American higher education here in the last week.
On full display.
I think we need more blows.
Yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, Harvard. I think you'll be okay.
All right.
Howie, I have another story involving the pricing plans, but this one is in New York. So MTA sets congestion pricing date. I read this because usually when something happens in New York or California, it's not far away from us. The MTA's much-derided congestion pricing plan is officially set to go into effect on June 30th. The plan will make drivers pay...
Has Harvard issued a statement on this?
They think this is a great idea. This is different, though, Howie.
This is on people who work in the city
and truck drivers
and have to commute in. Yeah, this is for the truck drivers, the people they want to put the tolls on at the state borders and then fine them for speeding and take away their driver's licenses.
Yeah, you know who's going to love this news is that woman that you wrote about, Molly. What's her name? Monica
Tibbetts. Nut.
Yeah, she's going to like this. The plan will make drivers pay $15 a day to enter Manhattan below 61st Street, with larger vehicles paying more. It's meant to reduce traffic in Manhattan. It's always important that
it's going to reduce commerce, too. There was a huge story today in the New York Post about all these buildings that are being sold at like half of what they were bought for 5 or 6 years ago. Is this going to help commercial property values? Is this going to help sales tax collections in the city by doing this, Grace? Or is it going to harm them, do you think?
Well, that's why whenever they write in an article what the goal is, you know that the goal is never going to be reached. When they have to say the plan is meant to reduce vehicle traffic, it's like, okay, so that's exactly what won't happen. The traffic will stay the same, and people will just go broke trying to do business in New York.
Right.
And soon, in Boston.
It's already expensive enough to get any kind of tradesman into the city for obvious reasons. Now they're going to add $15 a day on top of that.
Yep, that's the price of doing business in a blue-run city. Howie, here's another story. We talked about this in the car crossover, but I do think your audience would want to hear it as well. The Biden administration is reversing course on their plan to ban menthol cigarettes. This is reported in the Wall Street Journal. The Biden administration is reversing course after the White House weighed the potential public health benefits of banning minty smokes, against the political risk of angering black voters in an election year. So everything that Joe Biden does, nothing has to do with his, actual beliefs or agenda.
No.
It's all about, the votes and calculating how many votes he can afford to lose. And right now, because he's losing so many.
And whether people are dumb enough to believe what he says at any particular given moment.
Yeah.
Whether it was finishing as the runner-up in state scoring or going to an Ivy League law school or getting arrested with a black, whatever,
Yeah, and because he's losing the Death to America voter from Dearborn and all over these college campuses, he's obviously trying to offset that by now backing out of this plan to ban menthol cigarettes, which he had been talking about for a long time. We had talked about it on your show, Howie, ad nauseum, because it would come up like once every 6 months, this plan they have.
Well, it is. Massachusetts is the only state that menthol cigarettes are banned in. But, the thing is, if you ban them in one state, you're just forcing people to drive to New Hampshire or to Rhode Island, which I guess this is part of Monica Tibbetts' nuts plan, too. Because if you drive to New Hampshire, then you get tolled again coming into the state, or even Rhode Island.
Is it nuts or nut?
Nut. Nut is nuts. N-U-T-T.
Got it. That's tough, because when you have that hyphen, you want to say nuts.
Yes, she took her wife's name too.
I don't know if her name is Kibbons.
Howie,
but she has a wife.
I want to read: protesters interrupt Nancy Pelosi's speech at Oxford University visit. A group campaigning for an armaments embargo against Israel protested a speech given by Nancy Pelosi at the historic Oxford Union.
See, this is the thing, though. Didn't she say just yesterday or 2 days ago that she wants Netanyahu gone? She's engaging in election interference in a democracy, right? But that's not enough for these people.
No.
It's the Robespierre lesson.
Your last caller just said the same thing.
Yeah.
What's the expression you always say? Rebellions eat their own.
Yes, they do.
Two students stepped in front of the podium and unfurled a Palestinian flag per a video of the protest action published by campaign group Youth Demand, which is against Israel and climate change.
You know what I would have said? Where the hell are the sprinklers when you need them?
Most buildings have that, you know, the thing where if there's a fire, the water will start.
Too bad Dapper isn't still around. This would be a big week for him. You know, I've told you he used to run around with his bullhorn telling the hippies, when I'm elected mayor, you're all going to get a good bath and a shave. And I just can't. And he smoked Cools. I could just imagine if they tried to take his menthol cigarettes away from him.
Yeah.
They would have been looking at a knuckle sandwich, those hippies.
They're not going to try it until after the election. There's a lot of things that I don't think Joe Biden's going to go near until after the election.
Yeah. 919 says larger vehicles pay more. You mean like tractor trailers delivering food and other supplies? Yes, that's exactly what they mean.
That won't
affect prices, though, will it?
Inflation's already so insane in New York City, too. My sister was calling me the other day. She got a gallon of milk for $8.
All right. Thank you, Grace.
Thanks,
I appreciate it. I'm Howie Carr.
Leave a message for the big guy. Call the Chump Line.
844-500-4242.
Press 2 and leave your message. Then listen every weekday at 5 to catch the best messages of the day.
One of them may be yours.
Howie Carr is back.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr Cheap Bastard deal.
Howie Carr, the cheapest bastard around.
We've been talking for several weeks, Cheap Bastard Deals, and a Meet the Experts podcast on the Flip Lock. It is a secondary door lock that's easy to use and is tough enough for the worst case scenarios. It's high strength, all aluminum, and it makes the inward flip lock durable, and it blends in with your current door hardware. It's 10 times stronger than a deadbolt, 10 times stronger than a deadbolt, able to withstand over 1,600 pounds of pressure. You can put it on an inside door, too. So if they breach the security, the thugs, goons, illegal aliens, whatever, you can use it on an inside door, a bedroom, bathroom, something like that, where you have time to call 911. Flip lock is unpickable, unbreakable, and installs at any height, and it installs in less than 5 minutes. While supplies last, right now you can purchase the official Flip Lock. It's a $50 value for just $25. This is even cheaper than the last Cheap Bastard deal we did, which was $30. So this is a hell of a deal. It comes in your choice of either silver or bronze. Get yours now at HowieCarShow.com and click store to purchase and also to see a video of how Flip Lock works. Also, shipping is free if you buy two or more Flip Locks. To tell us more about Flip Lock is the company's founder, Anna Rieger. Anne, thank you for being with us again. Meet the Experts podcast did great. People really are interested in this. The Revere City School System has installed the institutional flip locks inside the schools. Tell us what the advantage of a flip lock is.
Well, it's something so simple to use. You know, like you said, you can place it on any door in your home. You can place it at any height in your home, and it's just so simple to just be able to flip it and get away from the door, and your door is secure when you're home. And it's really, really easy if you have kids that are little, you're worried about them being able to get out. You know, you want to place it up high, or you have, you know, parents that some of them have elderly parents that don't want to lock their doors because it's really hard to turn the handles. They love these because it's just really simple to unlock and lock. And so, you know, my mother-in-law had this problem with her arthritis, and so we basically put one in her house because she would never lock her door, and now she's locking her door. And then, you know, we have our kids that have not, some of them have moved into their own places, and you want to have a secondary lock, like a flip lock, where nobody can come in, you know, on your kids because they moved out their first time,
right,
you know, in their own place, and they don't think about, you know, somebody just, they knock, hey, maintenance, they come in, and, you know, you're kind of, you know, right, you're stuck. And anywhere you rent anything, somebody has a key to your home. You know, that's the truth. And for me, I put one in my bedroom because when my husband's traveling, I want to know that my room is secure. So even if they got through the house, I still would be woken up if somebody was trying to come into my bedroom. And when you're a woman alone, you know, that's a big security scare. You know, most of us are scared to sleep when we're by ourselves.
Yeah, and these are really affordable, too, and they give you an extra level of security and peace of mind. Many people, though, already have home security systems, smart cameras, ring cameras, et cetera. What makes FlipLock a good supplement to these security measures?
Well, the security cameras are going to capture them, you know, once they've got in your home and once they left your home. This is a way to prevent them while you're home from coming into your home. And I think that's a big deal. You know, you want to make sure while you're hanging out with your family that that door is secure. And that's why I created FlipLock with our families in mind. You know, it was created with our kids in mind originally with the school, like you said. You know, putting them in the schools, giving our kids a way to be able to lock that classroom door with, of course, an unlocking mechanism. But with the homes, we just started thinking, oh, my gosh, we need to be able to do these for our son. He's in a communal living situation with a bunch of other kids, you know, college kids.
Yeah. You hear about these school shootings, and you know, the guy gets inside, and the teacher's saying, "Let's push the desks and the chairs in front of the doors." You got the flip lock. The guy's not getting in. The shooter is not going to get in the classroom unless he's Superman. Go to HowieCarshow.com. While supplies last, you can get a flip lock, a $50 value for just $25. That's our cheap bastard deal.